All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Again on a Saturday morning with food, friends, and fun. And speaking of food, friends, well, not necessarily friends and fun. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Oh, thanks a lot. I mean, really. You know, I'm out and about everywhere these days. I'm on my magic carpet. I'm speaking to you from the carpet phone, and that's the best you can do for me.
I'm sorry.
You know, come on, really?
Everybody, that's the wine czar, our good friend Brian, on his way to some kind of wine event, and we're waiting for the Food News Jersey Style girl. You know, this is what's funny, Brian. Okay, this is radio, right? Well, she's upstairs putting on her makeup, getting her hair done, and she's, as she says, getting pretty. And I have to remind her, this is actually radio. I don't think she has to worry about that. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning. I always want to look pretty for you, Brilliant, but especially also for the radio.
Oh, God.
I was putting on my pink lipstick and lining my lips, so there you go. Can everybody see them?
There you go. So everybody places everyone. Laurie's got her makeup already. We're ready to go. By the way, today we have three fantastic guests. We have Blue Bee Cider. They make cider, of course, and they're in Richmond, Virginia, and they're coming on. They're actually the only cideries, I think that's how you say it, in Virginia, so that's out in your neck of the woods, Brian, so that should be interesting little information. Maybe you can go over there and have a little tasting later. And then secondly, we have Nancy Baggett. Nancy Baggett is a food author. She's been on our show before. She's got a book that's called The Two-Day-A-Week Diet Cookbook, and we're going to be talking about the book and also some other things that she's working on. And thirdly, our musical guest, I really like this guy. His name is Graham Benson, and he's got a unique sound. I just kind of like it, and I think you'll like him. So that's our lineup for today. So, Brian, back to you. Where are you headed? Now, you're giving out free wine where?
I'm headed to your stomping grounds, your old stomping grounds. Virginia Beach.
Oh, really? Oh, my old hometown.
That's right. I'll be in a place called Grape and Gourmet. Once a month, they do a little event. That's actually not a little event. They usually have a couple of hundred people come through. They call it Cheap and Cheery, and they pour, you know, good value wines, which is right up your alley, of course. good craft beers. They have food. You know, they do all kinds of fun stuff. So it's always
cool.
A fun event.
You always help. You got the fun job. Can I get a part-time job just doing that for you?
Yeah, you know what? You can have my full-time job if you like.
Hey, wait, Ron, I have to tell you a real quick funny story. I'll interrupt for a minute. I was in New Jersey, and there's this store that's been around forever. It's called Joe's Butcher Block. And by the way, I'll plug Hoboken Eddie. They sell his sauces there. Yay!
Oh, wow.
But I bought these wines. It's called Cocobon, C-O-C-O-B-O-N. It's a California blend. It's around $10, and Bruce, the owner there, was telling me, you should try it. It's very friendly. It's lush. It's very rich in cherries. And he said, I think you'll really like it. So I brought it home, and I'm drinking it. I'm loving it. I couldn't wait to go back and buy more bottles to bring back to Grillion. So I come back. I'm all excited. Last night, it's wine time. I pour him the wine. I'm loving it. And look at his face. And he's kind of like not sure if he should tell me the truth because I'm so happy and excited. And I said, what do you think, my love? And now describe how you describe the flavor. And we thought of Brian's for the head.
What's it called again?
Cocobon. C-O-C-O-B-O-N. It's a California blend.
It should be Cocobot instead of Cocobot. But anyway, it has a
wait,
flowery...
Wait. I have a question. Lori?
Yes.
How much did you spend on it?
It's $10 a bottle.
Oh, that's the reason why he didn't like it.
I bought three bottles.
Money.
That's the reason why I didn't like it. See? I would have bought more, but
it
Bruce was
too much
bottles. Money. Come back next time. I'll give you more bottles. I might forget it now.
When you guys get done arguing about how much it costs, I'll tell you what it tastes like. It tastes like dandelions and wildfires, flowers, and it has a hint of lighter fluid.
That's what he described. So you know what I told him? Brian, you've got your wish. You are now Jack, and Grillion is now Miles.
Thank you.
From Sideways. That's exactly what I said to him when he described it. I'm like, what are you saying about dandelions? When did you ever eat a dandelion?
And Lori,
yes.
Lori, I would just throw him out of the house.
I felt so bad. Good thing I would have probably bought, like, how many bottles he was there. I probably would have bought them out. And I'm thinking, I guess I'm not going to be buying. I'll keep them in New Jersey when I go to visit my family. But, no, they're not coming back to Maryland.
Well, you know Robitussin, right? The stuff you take to cough medicine.
Oh, come on!
It has a certain hint of that. I'm sorry to the Cocobot or Cocobon or whatever they're called people out there, but I didn't like it. It's okay. What'd you say it was? It's a Barbera or what kind of wine is it?
It's a Bordeaux blend. It was a blend.
Oh,
but
well, you
it
know
was
me
just
wine.
So luscious and. He's exactly, he described it exactly. I think, Brian, I would love to bring a bottle. Next time I'll bring a bottle when we get together, and I'm curious to have your take
on
it.
Ray, you know, I've been so far to the dark side lately, and if Brilliant doesn't like it, I don't know. I might, you know, I might have a similar reaction.
Dandelions, wildflowers, and lighter fluids. Like, what is that? I couldn't stop laughing.
Sounds just like Thunderbird. I mean, Brilliant should love it.
And this is the truth. I took the rest of my glass and I poured it into hers because hers is just about gone. And I said, hey, you can drink it. And I switched over. Listen to this, Brian. To Bodo Box Shiraz. That's much better.
Hey, you know what I always say? Whatever works for you, that's what you do. I was pouring last night at a tasting, and this young couple were bantering back and forth about, well, I like the white and I like the red. And like, I said, well, that's a good excuse to buy two bottles. You each get your own.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah, good salesman. Really good salesman.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, before you go,
sir.
I know you got to go, not going to be able to stay on very long today, but... We didn't talk about it last week because we had the late start and I had water up to my shins, the electricity was off, the show wasn't working and all that. But I wanted to get your take because you haven't pissed off anybody lately. I wanted to get your take on Five Guys Burgers.
Who?
Wasn't that Five Guys Burger place you went to? The place you got the burgers.
Oh, Five Guys. We didn't talk about that, right?
That's right.
That's what I just said.
You know what? I can't. I switched off of the Bluetooth, and I'm back on my phone.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought maybe you'd have trouble hearing me, and now I can't hear you. Five Guys. Oh, well, let me tell you. okay, it's time to piss off all the Five Guys lovers because that really sucks. And was way too expensive. I think I spent between the fries and the burger and the drink like $13-14. And I had, what, three toppings on the burger. For a double patty that's as flat as can be, as greasy as can be, and the peanuts sucked. You know, if you're going to give away free peanuts, at least, you know, make them good. But, you know, I realized $14 for the burger, you paid for the peanuts. So, I'm sorry, if I'm paying for the peanuts, they better be good.
Well, I have to admit, they're like one of the biggest growing chains out on the West Coast. There's a whole ton of them in San Diego and all that. And I have to admit, I went there. This is where you and I are going to probably agree. I can't believe it. But I was not impressed either. Now, Five Guys burgers, they're probably not going to speak to us ever again. But if I'm being honest, unless it was a bad day, mine was kind of greasy. It wasn't that great either. But people stand in line in San Diego. I mean, so I guess it's just you and I, Brian, because people were standing in line to get in the place. So,
well, what's the problem actually with the burger? What is actually is it like not good meat? And what's or is it?
I think it's
not good meat, and they fry it on a flat griddle, so it sits in all the grease. And, you know, and then they put everything, even if you tell them that you're staying there, they shove everything in a paper bag, and they dump all the french fries. Yeah, you get a gazillion french fries, but they shove them all in a bag on top of your burger, so you have to reach through to get the burger or break the bag. Well, most people just break up the bag and make it like a placemat. You know, and then the foil and the burger is all greasy, and I'm like, it's just, I don't know why I did it. You know, it was like, okay, I haven't gone to Five Guys in like 3-4 years. Let's go have a burger. And it was like, okay, why?
Well, I can't.
I'm just tired of supporting all these companies. And you know what? If they came to us and offered us sponsorship, I would probably tell them to take a flying leap.
Well, now wait a minute. Don't get too crazy here.
And hey, I haven't pissed off anybody in a while. I gotta do my job.
Yes, you did a good job, but I have to agree with you. It was okay. I won't say it was nasty or anything. The food was okay, but it wasn't worth the $14. I'm with you on that. I was a little disappointed, but whatever. People love it. They're standing in line around the corner for it. And literally, if you go at lunchtime at some of these places that were in San Diego, people must have like a 2-hour lunch break because you had to stay in line for an hour just to get the freaking burger. Which is funny, too, because Carl's Jr., right across the street, which I believe has a much better burger, you could go in there and get your food like in 5 minutes. But people were standing in line at Five Guys, so whatever. Anyway,
for some reason, I feel like I want to interrupt. Can I interrupt for a second? The two of you are getting along so well. Something just popped in my head. I feel like I want to start singing The Courtship of Eddie's Father. You're my best friend. You're my up, my down.
It's kind of scary.
Courtship of Eddie's Father. Yep.
Yes, I remember that show. And yes, I guess we are being too friendly. But you know what? Brian, we have to let people know that even though we usually disagree and we make fun on Facebook, it tends to get people's panties all in a wad, but I don't know why, but anyway, we just have good fun with it, that's all. Oh, okay, what are we going to do next? Brian, how long are you going to stay with us?
Oh, I'll be here for a while. I was sitting in traffic, and my thing is not until 1 o'clock, but I may need to drop out once I get there and, you know, get a little set up and whatnot.
All right.
No, we'll be hanging for a while.
If you got to go, you just go, and we won't hold you back. And I'm going to take a quick break, and we should be having our first guest calling in from Blue Bee Cider right there in Richmond and talking about apple cider. Everyone, hang tight. I'm going to play a little bit of Crystal Yates. Haven't played any of her music in a while. She was a past guest. The song is called No More Sighing. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking to our first guest.
Come on, get up, get out of bed, you dumpy, grumpy, sleepy head. The sun is out today. Just rub the sleep out of those eyes and watch your troubles wave goodbye.
Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, it is the ultimate cooking experience. Go to www.biggreenegg.com and get yourself a Big Green Egg. Just punch in your zip code and find a dealer near you. And I'm getting feedback from you, Brian, for some reason. And speaking of
the Bluetooth, I'll go off the Bluetooth again.
Get off the Bluetooth. And by the way, speaking of Big Green Egg, last week I think we talked about
this, better?
But I'm going to do it. Yeah, that's much better. I'm going to go do this again, but we're going to take bananas, peanut butter, honey, and bacon, and we're going to make a pie on the Big Green Egg. And I'm going to do that this week and tell you guys all about it next week. And by the way, Brian, I got some pecan or pecan, depending on where you're from, smoking wood chips to try out this time. So can't wait to try out the Big Green Egg this week, and we'll post pictures on Facebook. Now, we're going to go to our next guest. These people are in your neck of the woods. Brian, as I said before, they're called Blue Bee Cider Company, and they have a cider that's made in Richmond, Virginia, and everything's working. Okay, we should have Courtney, is it Maley, on the phone with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Hear you great. Welcome to the show.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, Courtney, you make cider in Virginia, in Richmond, Virginia, and it's some, I guess, right in the heart of downtown Richmond. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's true.
This is really cool. And you're the only cidery in the state of Virginia?
We're the only urban cidery in the state of Virginia. There are about eight or nine others out near the orchard. So we're the only ones that are located near the customers rather than the fruit.
pretty cool. Brian, our wine czar, who's now going to be a cider czar as of today, he's actually in the Richmond area. And, Brian, are you familiar where they are? It's in the old Manchester district.
Well, yeah, I'm familiar with downtown, but I apologize that I've been so out of touch with the Richmond scene that I have never tasted your ciders.
Well, you should come over today.
Well, I'm actually touring at a wine event, but I would love to come over and taste through the lineup, you know, maybe sometime next week, for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely, we'll be here.
Take pictures.
Always.
Yeah, take pictures. But make sure he doesn't use your camera, Courtney, because he may break it.
Okay.
So, Courtney, tell us what kind of different flavors of cider do you have?
Well, we make between 8 and 10 ciders a year, depending on the harvest. So right now we have 5 sparkling ciders in the tasting room, and we will add a 6th cider, which is a still dessert cider, later this month, early next month. So we try and get that one called Harvest Ration out just before Thanksgiving. And it's inspired by a French Pinot, which is essentially a fortified cider. We custom make brandy in partnership with a distillery, and we use that brandy to fortify a sweet cider, so it's pretty delicious.
This is really cool. So how long have you guys been in the cider business?
This business is really young. We've been up and running for 2 years now, so
okay.
Really young.
And you have a tasting room now. Does it work the same way as a wine tasting? You go in, you pay like whatever a fee, and then you get to taste. How many different tastings do you get for how much?
It's $5 to try 5, but because we're in a beer town, we also offer flights of our ciders. So it's a more grown-up size 4 for $15, and then you can cross-compare them instead of just having to taste them in the order that we give.
Ah, so you can put your big boy pants on and have more than
yes.
just a tasting.
Yes, yes.
So tell me about the, okay, Blue Bee. I was reading on your website, and I posted on here about the Blue Bee, but I've never heard of the Blue Bee until I saw your website. What exactly is a Blue Bee? It's only in Virginia? Am I understanding that right?
They're actually all across North America, and they're
okay.
native. So you have East Coast and West Coast variations of the bee, but we have the East Coast version of the Blue Mason bee, and they're native. They do not produce honey, so if you have to kind of shift your mind when you think about other kinds of pollinators. The blue bee has a dark body, which means it attracts sunlight, and it can stay warm in the early spring when honeybees are not too keen to work. And that's great for apple blossoms because apple blossoms are also early. So an early bee and an early flower kind of work together. They're the only ones on the shelf, and that actually benefits both of them in getting the apple harvest.
Very interesting. So they don't make honey. So what do they do all day long? They just jump around from tree to tree and what else do they do?
Yeah, so they nest in tubes rather than in hives. They're not social. Every female is a queen, so rock on, ladies. And she will build her own nest, and really all they do is pollinate and procreate. So a honeybee will set maybe 60 fruit in a day, where a blue orchard bee will set about 2,000. So they're a much more productive
wow.
pollinator.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Hey, when I die and I come back, if you believe in reincarnation, I want to come back as a blue bee. So you guys
yeah.
named your cider based on the blue bee called Blue Bee Cider, and
yeah.
now it makes sense because these guys are busy in the orchards making the apples for
yeah.
you so you can make your cider.
Yep. That's right. That's exactly right.
Very interesting. Now, I'm going to ask some stupid questions, which is what I always do on the radio. How long does it take to make cider? I mean, I know it takes a while for things to ferment when it comes to making beer
mm-hmm.
or making wine, but is it the same kind
yeah.
of process making cider?
Yes, it's exactly the same process. So there are different ways to make cider. We make ours in a white wine method, so it's exactly the same as white wine. We just use apples instead of grapes.
Ah, and you put them in like the stainless steel tanks instead of in like oak barrels?
Yes, we ferment. We do not ferment in barrels. Now, back in the day in Virginia, people did ferment in barrels because that's all they had, but we have tools available to us now that were not available 300 years ago.
Okay. Now, you know, next question I'm going to ask you, what's the alcohol content?
It varies. So remember, our apples are from the south, and there's more sun here. So on average, I will get about 8% in one of our ciders, which is a little bit more than what most people are used to. But in Virginia, it's not unheard of to get a cider that goes up to 10 or 11%. It just depends on the weather conditions that year and the apple itself. So some crab apples are just really high in sugar content, and they'll jack the ABV up at the end.
Well, I know Brian's sitting over there being very quiet on his magic carpet on his way to Virginia Beach, but since he is the wine czar / cider czar, do you have any questions there, Mr. Cider Czar?
Well, of course I have questions. Now,
of course you do.
I happen to love cider, and I've sold a lot of cider during, you know, in retail. In fact, one of your customers is an old is an old employer of mine. I used to be the buyer for private stock in Richmond, but when he had five stores rather than one. So I'm wondering, are you doing your ciders more to the sweet side? I mean, obviously, alcohol content is going to lead to how sweet or dry the ciders are. You know, the higher the alcohol, the drier, the lower the alcohol, the sweeter. Are you doing them like in a Normandy style, like a lot of the cider makers are, you know, producing their ciders now?
So the method that we use is actually an English cider making method, and we use champagne yeast as opposed to a wild yeast, is what you would typically find in France. The French method is just completely different. So using that English method where we ferment to dry, our sweetness is pretty low compared to what you'd get in the grocery store. So like your typical grocery store cider will range from 5 up to 12% sugar. And the sweetest of the sparkling ciders that we make is about 2 to 3%. So much drier.
Oh, that's great.
You would get,
I mean, that's kind of my life. Yeah.
Go ahead. We do have dessert ciders. So with the dessert ciders, the sweetness is much higher, but that is balanced out by greater alcohol content and more flavor. It's just more concentrated.
Right, right. Fortifying, basically stopping fermentation, and fortifying is going to retain the residual sugar.
Exactly.
Now, how is the perception? Because, you know, I've sold ciders at wholesale, and a lot of people will say, oh, I love these ciders, but people like to drink sweet cider. So how has your perception been with, you know, your ciders and getting them into the market? Because I looked at your list of clients, and it's really impressive for only 2 years in business to have that many businesses carrying your cider at this point.
Thank you. We work really hard on that. We actually get about 80% new customers in our tasting room every day. So 8 out of 10 of the people that walk in the door are people we've never met before, and it's great to have a conversation with them about the different kinds of ciders that we have to offer. Many of them are familiar with sweeter products that they can get more easily, and that's a great gateway for us to talk about a wider range of options in cider. There's a great cider tradition all across the world. There's cider in France, in England, in Spain that have their traditions. Then you have South African, New Zealand, and Australia cider makers. So there's actually a lot more going on in the world of cider, and it's a way for us to talk about it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Now, do you distribute yourself or do you have a distributor?
We self-distribute in the Richmond market, so at this point we're a hyper-local product. If you are not within 60 minutes of our front door, you're probably not going to find us on the shelf. We do have a draft distributor. Tap 26 Distributing will work with draft customers that want to carry us, so festivals, restaurants, and the like. And if you're interested, I would contact them.
Well, maybe I can help you distribute outside of Richmond at some point.
I was getting ready, I was getting ready to say, it sounds like he's trying to milk his way in to be a distributor for him. Anyway, I was noticing on your website, by the way, the website is www.bluebcider.com. You have a listing of all your different ciders on there. And another stupid question, but can you ship anywhere? Or do you I guess you're under the same law as everyone else is when it comes to shipping alcohol.
So we're going to open our online store to cider in a week or two. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And we'll ship Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and North Carolina. That's our initial market. And as we build customers in those four states, then we'll look to other states as well.
Oh, cool. So I can get it in Maryland in just a couple of weeks, huh?
Yes, yes. And you can join our Cider Club. So if you live in any of those four states, you can join the Cider Club and receive a quarterly shipment of cider.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Well,
fun.
That's really interesting. Well, Courtney, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and thank you for taking time. Everyone who's out there, check out www.bluebcider.com, and if you're in those states you just mentioned and looking for their cider, looks like in about a week and a half to 2 weeks, you can actually go online and buy it. Or if you're in the Richmond area within 60 miles, you can find it in different areas around there. So very much enjoyed our conversation, and come back and see us sometime.
Okay, with pleasure. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
everybody,
Gordon.
Check out their website.
Bye-bye.
And Brian, you still with us, or you got to go?
No, I'm here.
All right.
As
well,
long
hey,
as
thanks.
I'm on the carpet, as long as I'm on the carpet, I'm here.
All right, we're gonna take another a little break with Big Earl. And Big Earl's birthday was last week, so I figured I'd play one of Big Earl's songs. His song is called "You Don't Know My Mind," and obviously we don't know Brian's mind either. So it's a great. Going to go take a break. Be right back.
Just keep on crying.
yeah, that was Big Earl. You don't know my mind, and as I mentioned, we don't know Brian's mind, nor do we want to, Brian. So, everyone, welcome back to the show, and we thank our first guest from Blue Bee Cider, Courtney, for joining us, and we'll be joined here in just a few minutes with our next guest, Nancy Baggett. Everyone knows Nancy Baggett. She's a cookbook writer and world-renowned at that, and she'll be joining us in just a few minutes. Hey, Laurie.
Yes.
I want to make sure you're awake, but since we got a couple of minutes here before Nancy will be joining us, did you have a food news story that you've got ready to go? Because I'm launching this on you in the last minute. But did you, that one about yams. You got the,
you got
that handy?
You want me to talk about that one?
Yeah, let's talk about yams for a second.
Okay, let me go down. Thank you for that.
You're
wasn't
welcome.
Prepared. Wasn't prepared.
Scrolling down. Scrolling down.
Scrolling down. Okay. The difference between sweet potatoes and yams. Okay, do you guys know the difference? Oh, yeah,
I didn't
know
this,
Brian,
so
he
you
probably
told
does.
Me.
Brian?
I haven't a clue.
I'm shocked.
See
okay.
there, I don't know something.
Yeah.
Surprise.
I tell you, honestly, I bet most people, I bet 90% when I say this, will not know it. But they're going to know it now. Okay, before you reach for the candied yams this Thanksgiving, there's something you need to know. They're not actually yams. All this time, many Americans have been making the mistake of calling sweet potatoes yams. But there's actually a difference. It turns out our sweet potatoes and yams are not even related. They are two different species of root vegetable with very different backgrounds and uses. So why all the confusion? Because the U.S. government has perpetuated the error of labeling sweet potatoes as yams. And in most cases, sweet potatoes are labeled with both terms, which just adds to the confusion. So there are two types of sweet potatoes, one with a creamy white flesh and one which is orange, and the USDA labels the orange ones as yams. But why call the orange flesh one yams in the first place if they're not? Oh, my God. Listen to this. Listen to this.
The crickets. I hear crickets.
Yams are native to Africa and Asia and other tropical regions. Yams are starchy, and they have an almost black, bark-like skin with white, purple, or reddish flesh and come in many varieties. The tubers can be as small as regular potatoes, or they can grow up to 5 feet long. So I don't know if I've ever had yams because they're black, bark-like skin.
You know what Popeye said, I yam what I yam, but obviously he wasn't.
Oh, God. I'm hanging up now. That's it.
So I think most Americans have never had a yam. That's
I know,
my take on all this.
How could, I mean, I feel like I've been, I don't know, it's just I feel like I'm upset all these years when we were having candied
yams.
Deceived. We really weren't. I've been deceived.
Candied yams, right. You're not. You're actually having sweet potatoes.
Well, I knew they were sweet potatoes, but I thought they were called yams. But you're telling me they're not really yams, but they're sweet potatoes. I know I've had the white sweet potato. Those are called, I think, Haman potatoes. But
I don't know. But I mean, I thought the orange ones, because the USDA, we're labeling them as yams when they come in as orange, but they're not.
Well, I think we should start something here. We should go to Washington and tell them that they need to label their product correctly. It's not a yam. I think we just have to start a yam program. Let's do that. Stop calling them yams.
Yeah.
I actually feel sorry for the yams because they have imposters.
Well, it says yams can be found in international markets, such as those that specialize in the Caribbean foods. But, I mean, maybe
are you sure that even at the international markets, they're actually selling you yams?
Well, yeah, like I said, I'm going to go to a Whole Foods next time and ask them to show me their yams and see what they hand me. If it's all black skin, I'm going to throw it at them.
Hey, would you please show me your yams?
Laurie, you might get in trouble doing that.
I think so.
No, only you guys think that way. I don't think that way.
course, if you
Lori,
said, hey, if she said, show me your tubers, that would even be worse. So I guess I get your hands in there.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Oh, man.
I have another quick story if you have time.
Well, I need it because I don't think Nancy hasn't called in yet. So yeah.
Hey, I have a little announcement.
Okay.
Oh,
just to kill some time.
Yeah.
Next week, the Czar is going to be having some me time. So
me time, as in
the Czar.
Alone, just
okay.
me.
Alone, yes. And I'm not going to be on the air because we have a friend coming down. And you realize that I've spent so much time being on the dark side that I've forgotten about my cultural roots. So we're going to spend the day at the Virginia Fine Arts Museum, which you guys need to come to Richmond and have me take you to, because they have some of the best special exhibits in the country and in the world.
Really?
Ryan, do I look like a fine arts guy?
No, don't let him kid you, because you know what? He has exquisite taste.
If I can elevate you a dollar a bottle in your wine consumption, I can elevate you to fine arts. Okay?
He is just playing. He's playing games. You should see. His taste is exquisite.
Well, anyway, I want to let you know that I've arranged.
You say taste exquisite?
I'm not going there. I want to let you know that I've arranged for a special guest co-host for you. And I've already showed this person your picture, and they're not afraid. So just be prepared.
You're not going to tell me who?
No, I'm not. But when you see a strange phone number come up, on the board, you'll know that you need to bring them in, because they are stepping in for me next week.
Oh, boy.
I love surprises. Brilliant doesn't, but that's okay.
I don't like surprises. And I see your number, it is a strange number, Brian, so I'm going to have another
stranger. I know. I realize that. But you know what? You got to get over it. Just take it. Take it like a man. I guarantee you that this person will be engaging and knowledgeable, and certainly will put up with your crap. So,
all right.
That's all
we're
going to
have a mystery guest next week, guest host. I can't wait. Well, thank you for that.
Right.
By the way, before I forget, while we have a few minutes here talking about guest host and host, don't forget, we have three other shows during the week, and we'll be adding more here soon. But don't forget, tomorrow night, Albert Hernandez, the Untamed Chef, comes on at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Great Ideas Radio. And don't forget, on Tuesday, John Dilley in Deaf Conversation, he talks about the hot sauce world, comes on Tuesdays at 7. And then, of course, our buddy Christo, Chef Christo Gonzalez, he's got a show that comes on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., and we're going to be adding a few new folks in the next few weeks. So tune in. Don't forget about those shows on greatideasradio.com. And I made it real easy for you, too. All you have to do is click the link, greatideasradio.com, and then all our shows are easily found once you get there. So no more long-ass links did you have to worry about. All you have to do is go to the website. And anyway, our guest is not here yet. So, Laurie. Since you're our food news Jersey style girl, you said you had another quick story. Do another quick story. I got to go find our guest, and you and Brian talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Well,
thank God
Brian,
we don't have to listen to you. Lori, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
But
always.
I'm still here. So don't talk about me.
We'll talk about you anyway, whether you're there or not. We'll just make believe.
We've done fun here.
Tell me a story, Lori.
Okay,
I want
here
to hear
you
a
go.
Story.
Listen, this is pretty interesting. Can you smell peanut butter?
Can I smell peanut butter?
How's this for a low-tech way of diagnosing Alzheimer's? Sniffing
peanut butter. Yes, researchers at the University of Florida have discovered some merit to the bizarre-sounding notion patients in cognitive decline often lose their sense of smell first. And the researchers had the patients sniff a dollop of peanut butter with each nostril separately. Now, this is what's interesting, too. They used a ruler to measure the point at which people detected the odor, and they kept the other nostril closed. The weird result is that people with a confirmed diagnosis of early-stage Alzheimer's could smell it fine with the right nostril, but they couldn't smell it with their left. So generally speaking...
No. Finish what you were saying.
Generally speaking, the right nostril picked up on it before the left. The left and right difference is specific to Alzheimer's, but doesn't apply to other forms of dementia. So at the moment, they can use this test to confirm diagnosis, and says the lead researchers, but they plan to study patients with mild cognitive impairment to see if the test might be used to predict which patients are going to get Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, now here's a question for you. Have you been watching Brilliant, like, you know, he's so obsessed with peanut butter. Have you been watching whether he sniffs with the right nostril or the left nostril?
He inhales. There's no sniffing. He just takes it and inhales it.
Well, this kind of confirms some things, though. I've been convinced that he's got Alzheimer's anyway.
Oh, I'm back, and I heard that.
I'm back. No, he's got a good memory. He's really got a good memory. May forget it. I forget what happened this morning.
That's interesting, though. So bizarre, though,
that they could detect that from one nostril to the other.
Well, what they said was, this could actually end up being a very easy, cheap, and effective weapon in fighting Alzheimer's.
That's interesting. It's cool, too. I mean,
it's
an easy way. If you can't smell peanut butter, I guess, and this is not be funny either, but if you can't smell peanut butter, you should probably go see the doctor.
From your left nostril. What's very scary. I actually didn't even try the test yet. I should go try it.
That's weird. We got our guest.
Yeah.
So, are you done with that story?
Nancy,
I can go to Nancy now. All right. Nancy's here, Nancy Baggett, and everyone knows her, I'm sure, if you're on Facebook or if you're anywhere in the foodie world, you know Nancy, and she's a major foodie, cookbook author, food journalist, and she's been on our show before. I was afraid she decided that she didn't want to be on it again this morning, but I think she's here. Good
I'm
afternoon,
here.
Nancy.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Oh,
hi,
fine.
Nancy.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Welcome back to the show. Well, we're glad you're here, and thank you for joining us again. And we wanted to have you on to talk about your paperback version of your book called The 2-Day-A-Week Diet Cookbook. And congratulations, by the way. I understand that it's
thank
just
you.
Flying off the shelves right now. But tell everybody a little bit about yourself, those who may not know who you are, and then let's talk about the book.
Okay, well, I've been writing cookbooks for many, many years, and one of my specialties is baking. And people have done a cookie book and a dessert book, a couple dessert books, and some other baking books, a bread book. And people often ask me, how do you not get really big from, you know, making all those sweets and eating them? And the last couple years, my secret has been the recipes and this particular diet. It's called the 2-day-a-week diet because that's what you do. You diet 2 days a week. And you go, wow, that sounds easy. And in some ways it is easier because one of the things I always found with other diets is, you know, after the first few days you just get hungrier and you lose your willpower and then you don't really stick with it. And this actually, the plan was actually devised by a physician in Britain. And the 2-day-a-week diet in Britain is sometimes called the 5-2 diet, meaning 5 days a week you eat normally, 2 days a week you diet. And the guy who created it called it the fast diet because on the 2 days when you're dieting, you don't eat a whole lot. You're not fasting in the traditional sense of eating nothing, but you're not eating a lot. You're eating women are supposed to eat no more than 500 calories a day. Men are allowed 600 calories a day, presumably because they have more body mass. So my co-author started it before I did, and she kept saying, you need to try this, because I'd been trying to lose the same 5 pounds for, I didn't need to lose a whole lot. She really had a larger goal than I did. But, that it creeps up on you, and if you don't do anything, then you get more creep and the clothes get tighter. We all know that, right?
Exactly.
I started it, and the great thing about it is, I get hungry at the end of a day of eating 500 calories. I really do. But the thing is, what you generally think is, my husband's on it too, and he's lost about 20 pounds. Her husband's on it; he's lost 20 pounds. She's lost 20 pounds. It's slow and methodical, because you only diet 2 days a week. But what that means is, we usually go, yeah, I'm pretty hungry, but I think I'll just go to bed and forget about it, and then tomorrow I can eat what the regular diet, and it works. So, then scientifically, they say there's something to it, and various scientists, speculate on what was the reason that it works better. One thing, by the way, is they've done studies that show people do lose more weight than they do on the traditional 7-day-a-week diet, which is interesting. And one of the reasons they speculate is what I said about you're hungry one day, but then you go back to eating normally. But that's another key. They found out that for some reason, people don't go back the next day and pig out. They don't feel inordinately hungrier the next day. So they don't undo the dieting that they did, which is very interesting. So it's been the rage in Britain. And so we tried some of the British cookbooks, and they have too many kippered herrings and things that are popular to be funny. You know, the kinds of things that apparently are popular in the British diet that Americans go, what? And then some of the other plans, the diet books that are out of Britain, the recipes were just not suited to what's in American stores either, or American lifestyles. They would take you way too long to fix. So we just couldn't really find recipes that we wanted. So we started, since she and I have done over the years like 5 or 6 healthy cooking books. We did some books for the American Diabetes Association. We did several books for Rodale over the years. So we have a track record of doing low-fat, low-calorie, healthy recipes that taste good. In fact, that was what people would say. I don't know how they do it, but their lower-fat recipes taste better than many. And so we started creating our own recipes, and we decided we wanted to get it out, the Kindle version. It came out in Kindle, and if somebody's interested in a Kindle version, it's like $2.99. It's a real bargain. We got 50 pictures, which I took the photos of, and 75 recipes, and we only picked the 75 recipes. We did probably 100 recipes that we've been feeding ourselves and our husbands, and we only picked the top 75 that we liked the best to put in the book. So that's the evolution of the book. And now I'm starting to use it, and she is too. Most people have pound creep during the holidays, especially from Thanksgiving through Christmas.
Right.
And so I'm starting to, cut back a little bit more so that I will be down a pound or two at Christmas. And the great thing that both she and I have found, since we still travel a lot because of, appearances for the books and talks we have to do and things, and when you're out, it's really hard to eat properly. So what we do is just arrange our 2 days of dieting a week. You can pick whatever days you want to be when we're not going to be so tempted. And I'm already thinking, okay, clearly, even though I normally diet on a Thursday, I won't be doing that on Thanksgiving Day. I'll, wait till Friday. So it's very convenient to fit in. And our recipes are all about, on those 2 diet days, what you can eat. So,
well, that's what I was going to ask you. So the actual recipes that are in the book, those are the recipes of the food that you eat during the 500-calorie days of your diet, correct?
Correct. Because it's kind of hard if you're not eating food that's specifically prepared to be filling and yet low-calorie. It's really easy to sit down to a one big bowl of chili if it's not. We have a good chili in the book that is low calorie, and I can talk about how I fiddled with it and made it tasty if you want. But it's just one, and it comes in a bowl of that chili is well under 200 calories. So you could have a bowl of that for your dinner and be okay. But if you sit down and eat a regular bowl of chili, that's like 400 or 500 calories, and that's the only meal you're going to get the whole day. So we have lots of salads and soups that will fill you up. And so, yes, that's the concept that everything, and we have sample menus in there. So if you're going, how am I going to fit this into, 500 calories a day? And like I say, most people, they shoot for 500, and then if you're a guy or you're feeding, helping a guy with the diet, then just let him have a couple more of the low-calorie snacks that are in the recipe in the book to fill him up the extra 100 calories.
Well, I've noticed, like, when I travel, if I'm gone for 2 or 3 days, I don't eat as much as I do when I'm at home. And
really?
I'm sure there's a science mm-hmm. to it, but I do lose weight when I travel, and I think it's because my intake of calories is much less. So
wow.
It makes sense that it does work.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because both my co-author, Ruth is her name, and we both find that it's really hard to not gain weight when we're on the road, because eating out in restaurants, it's like I'm eating what seems to be a normal amount of food, but oftentimes their food is fattier, so it'll have more calories, or it just has more carbohydrates in it, so it has more calories. But what I was suggesting about the chili, for example, the ground beef is generally fairly fatty, so we call for a very low, the lean, extra lean ground beef, and then we don't use a whole lot of it. And then because it doesn't have a lot of beef, the way we boost the flavor, say, in the chili recipe is that we add in beef broth. And there's actually a couple different brands and we recommend a particular product, which is it's called Better Than Beef Bouillon, and it's a brand, and I don't have any stake in them, but it comes in a little jar, and it's fresher tasting. You just add a little of the beef broth in, so you don't get the calories, but you get that same beefy flavor, and of course, most people's chili has the kidney beans in it, and we just put fewer, so it still has some kidney beans in it, and it's very satisfying. We have it probably one of our two nights a week a lot, because it's another thing we put in, what can be made ahead and how long it can keep. And, most people are coming in, they're already tired, they're hungry, and they don't want to have to fiddle around. So we've got a lot of recipes in the book where we can tell you, you can make this ahead, you can freeze it, or you can store it in the refrigerator, whatever. And so they can plan ahead and not be, rushing around trying to get their low-cal meal on the table at the last minute. So we try to think about what are people's lifestyles. They don't want to spend all day cooking. And a lot of people who want to diet really don't want to cook much at all. So there are some pretty simple recipes, as well as some that are moderately time-consuming, but most are in the, I'd say, extra easy to easy category. And we also put in gluten-free options for every recipe that includes something that has gluten in it. We remind people that there is a substitute and suggest a substitute so they can make the recipe and have it gluten-free. So we tried to cover all the bases, and we've gotten really good. The soft cover just came out. That's the one we're talking about today, and we're very proud of that. We think it looks very good. I'm very proud of my photos. But but the Kindle version came out in January, and we've gotten some great Amazon reviews on the Kindle version because it came out earlier. We wanted to get it out in time for the people who were trying to atone for all their diet sins last Christmas. So we got it out in January, and it's gotten very, very good reviews on Amazon.
Yeah,
so,
people
want
to find the book, the soft cover book. They get it. They can go to your website, which is kitchenlane.com. Can they also find it other places, or should they go to your website?
Yes, the thing there, the book actually has a website of its own, and it's the 2, and that's with a number 2, and then there's it's all lowercase, and there's no hyphens or anything. Todayaweekdiet.com, and we're selling discounted copies there. They're discounted over what you can get on Amazon or Barnes and Noble.
Wow.
We're also because we're selling it off our website, we're autographing it for free. So that's the best deal. If you didn't want to get it off our website, we only sell it through media mail. If somebody is desperate and has to have a copy fast, then Barnes and Noble and Amazon have it, but their price is a little higher. So they have to mark it up to make their money, you know.
Right.
And they do,
hey, by the way, they do make their money too, don't they?
Oh, they do. They absolutely do. So the 2dayaweekdiet.com site, actually it's 2dayaweekdiet.com, no Z on it. If they want the cheapest copy, that's where they can get them from our website. But so,
well,
we got your book,
and thank you. And we were thumbing through and haven't read it yet. But I think, you know what, I'm going to have to give it a shot. Now, I have a quick question before you go. Now, you know
sure.
me. If you've seen any of my photos on Facebook when I load up the big green egg, I probably eat 5,000 to 10,000 calories a day. Is this going to help?
You're
is it going to help
like
me?
A hulking guy. Let's say a big hulking guy.
He is. A big Hulk.
Yeah.
It'll help you because you're cutting back to the 500 twice a week. So I assume that still will help.
Yeah, it does help you. I mean, that's the amazing thing that people can stay on it, whereas that sometimes if you're on a 7-day a week diet, by the end of a few days you just get so hungry that you go crazy and you give up. And that's the thing. You don't give up on this one. I have a relative who's also lost 20 pounds on it, and she's never had any luck, keeping weight off. And so, like I say, I'm going to start up again now during the holidays. Like if I have a party that I have to go to and I know I eat too much, then, okay, the next day is one of the 2 diet days, and then you kind of can undo the damage that you did. So we're really excited about it, and I hope other people will find it beneficial too, especially with the holidays coming up and needing to cut back.
Definitely. Yep. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Everyone check out 2dayaweekdiet.com, or you can also go to Nancy's website, kitchenlane.com, find out more about her blog and everything else. And we appreciate you joining us today, and hope it goes well with your diet. I think I'm going to try it out. Maybe we'll compare notes, and maybe in about 6 months come back and see if I lost weight and if you lost weight.
Right. Well, that's good. I just mentioned, if they go to my website or they go to the 2dayaweekdiet website, either one, they will find sample recipes to try. So that's something to keep in mind, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
Care.
We appreciate it. Take care.
You're welcome.
Check out her book. Check out her website. It's a very interesting concept, and it kind of makes sense because, like I said, when I'm traveling, I've noticed I lose weight because I just don't eat the same as I do, like Fred Flintstone, when I'm home. So, anyway.
Well, because you're busy at trade shows, you don't take the time also.
Yeah.
You know, you're only eating like a dinner. You're not really having breakfast and lunch because you're too busy. You're moving around. So that's why I think you lose weight.
The moving around part probably has something to do with it, too, but that's a whole other story. Hey, Brian, are you still with us? Because I'm going to go to my next guest. Do you need to go?
I am with you, but I am going to check out and say goodbye.
Right.
I would have said one thing. It's interesting about the chili. I was actually on a low-cholesterol diet, and the American Heart Association, had this list of do's and don'ts, and in making things with ground beef, they said render all the fat out and then rinse it. So I was going to ask Nancy if she thought that was an even better way to use the meat. And I actually still do it today. It's like I'll render down, some ground beef, and then I rinse it. I put it in the strainer and rinse it so that
you don't
have fat. Yeah,
I don't know why it cracks me up. I just picture you frying your burger in the pan and then draining off all the oil and then putting it in a colander and rinsing it off and you're saying, good God, guy, you got nothing left.
No, because you flavor things with, you can flavor things without fat.
Like she said, she's right.
The world,
flavor it.
Yeah, the world doesn't need fat.
True, but it does make
well,
it.
Well,
it
I
out all the fat
too, but
in
I
your big green egg.
Well, that's why you don't like Five Guys burgers, because you rinse your ground beef and they don't.
No, look,
right.
I love the taste of fat, but that Five Guys burgers is not fat. That's beyond fat.
That greasy spoon.
All right,
so fat.
Hey,
that's like,
Brian, go pour some wine. I got to go with my next guest. Thank
yeah,
you.
I know. You're just trying to get rid of me. Have
yeah,
a great
actually,
weekend,
really
guys.
Bye, Brian.
All right, bye,
we'll
Brian. Have fun.
Soon. Bye.
All right, bye. There he goes. The wines are, ciders are, rinse your meat are. All right, we're going to...
On this carpet. Carpet landed.
Oh, boy. All right, we're going to take a break. Our next guest is our musical guest. I like this guy's music. It's just something about it just makes you feel good. I think everyone will like it.
Aww.
His name is Graham Benson. And Sunblessed Orchards, also Carol, a.k.a. Carol, on Facebook, found him. I think he's up in Northern California somewhere, and we'll talk to him when we get back here. But the song I'm going to play first is called Have You Forgotten? And we'll be back to talk to Graham Benson in just a few minutes.
Hey guys, how are you doing on the early West Coast time?
Yeah, it's a little bit earlier out there. Whereabouts are you in California?
Sacramento, California, the state capital of California, in fact.
All right.
Where it is horrendously dry, and we suffer through heat spasms that are continuing into October. But it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful community, and Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting to be talking to my friends on the opposite end of the country during the same time. Because
all the way, we're almost as far apart as you can get. We're all the way on the
almost as far as you can get. And I think that's the beauty of communication like this. And what a great show you guys have had, man. Awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
Aww.
I have to say, when I listen to your music, now this is going to sound like a weird group of people I'm putting together, but you have
it
reminds me of Cat Stevens, James Taylor, and Randy Newman all together.
You know, I'll take every one of those to heart. You know, even Randy Newman, who people make fun of, but is a genius, you know?
Yeah.
call it what you will, you know? Man, that's good company to be in, and absolutely all of those are my influences, amongst millions more. You know, as a musician, it's very hard to pin down what exactly your influence is and how you kind of interpret that,
right?
As your self expression, but yeah, man, Cat Stevens, absolutely.
Well, it just, you have that sound. I really like it, and the music is great. So, how long you've been in the music business?
Well, music business kind of since 2005 when I really started playing live and doing original music. I've been playing guitar, you know, since I was 13. Started out with a totally different genre of music, doing the heavy metal typical young 13-year-old thing and learning guitar that way. And then realizing, hey, I got kind of something to say, you know, I have ideas about that. And the song that was played before is more direct finger pointing at myself than probably a projection. And that's kind of the insight to music. It's all so subjective and the beauty of it.
Right.
Truly.
You can interpret it in so many ways. We found out here on the show, sometimes when I hear a song before I have someone on the show and I think I know what they mean, and then they tell me what the meaning of the song is, I'm like, wow, I was way off base. But you're right, it all has to do with your own introspect.
Well,
I guess.
Yeah, right. When it comes from a point of honesty, I guess music allows you to do that and be judged, and that's cool. You know, I hope that some people out there just go, I get that. You know, that similar notion of however they want to interpret it. You know, sorry to spill the beans on that one.
It's funny too. I'll tell you, I'll give you a little example. When I was in college, I took a creative writing course. I've told Laurie this story before. And when I had to write 20 poems every week. You know, you sit down and try to write 20 poems every week, it's very difficult. And you either have to write a short story and poetry was my thing. So you get to the point where, you know, you're into this thing 6-7 weeks. You're like running out of things to talk about. So I was sitting in my bedroom, and I looked up on the wall. This is back in the day when I used to wear neckties, and there was a whole bunch of
neckties hanging on the wall.
So I wrote a poem about neckties. Well, the funny part about it was when I turned it in to the professor, everybody had to critique your poetry, and I was amazed. I was freaking amazed at how people interpreted my poetry. All it was about was a bunch of neckties hanging on the wall, but they had these interpretations that were like crazy.
They were crazy.
I get it.
I think that happens a lot. People come out with a direct statement with their intention, but if they don't necessarily, you know, talk completely about what it's about, it's up to you. And that's
exactly
kind of a magical thing that happens between the listener and the person creating it, because it's kind of the old game of telephone where it goes through one person, through another person, and ends up being something completely else. And that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really happy that exists, because if you were just targeting what you were interpreting when you wrote the song, you know, you're just blind to what's going to happen in the after effect.
That's true. Well, then I don't want to ruin it. I was going to ask you on this next song I'm going to play, which is Breakaway, what the background story is. But maybe we shouldn't tell the listeners. Let them draw.
Let's go ahead and let the music speak for itself.
I mean, Breakaway, for all we know, Breakaway could be just about like someone like snapping a rope in half. It's called Breakaway. But let's listen to the song, and we'll come back and chat with Graham in a couple of seconds. Be right back.
Cool.
1, 2, 3, 4. see than what's left of me. I'll give to you. And if next to me is all that you need to be, would you settle for fantasy if it's the best you could do? Can I have my cake? Can I have you too? Would you follow me? Could I ask you to? With the world between us to break these ties, and we've worked so hard to realize, can a postcard say what I see in your eyes? Could I ever break away? Could I ever break away? Could I be satisfied and find peace inside? Roll half my life over broken white lines. Can I have my cake? Can I have you too? Just follow me. Can I ask you to? With the world between us to break these ties, and we've worked so damn hard to realize, can a postcard say what I see in your eyes? Could I ever break away? Could I ever break away? Away, go away, get away.
And that was Graham Benson, his song Breakaway. And see, now that one was more towards the Randy Newman side sound.
There you go. I'll take any kind of rattling commentary, and hopefully I got to call you. It's New York City and great to be here. Well, that was more Dylan than Newman. I don't know where that came from.
I was going to say Bob Dylan, but that was close.
But yeah, it's more of the rambling kind of. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, definitely influenced by James Taylor. And there's a lot of new cats carrying that spirit that are, you know, I'm 34, but that are even younger than me and my age that tapped into kind of what was great about that and continue to live that spirit, you know, most definitely, along with, you know, countless other artists and influences. I mean, within that song, there's literally like hip hop and disco somewhere in its DNA, you know?
You're saying Donna Summers in there somewhere, right?
Right. I mean, there's I don't know about Donna Summers, but yeah, we're getting close to that area of just music being classified in certain genres. Is over the years, when I first started listening to music, it was an okay way of me to try to establish, but now, you know, it's all getting so morphed into kind of an amalgamation of things. You can try to classify it, but I don't know if that really works anymore.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, what, I hate the word genre, but what genre are
right.
you put yourself in?
You know, if I had to, And I wouldn't really want to, but if I had to, it's got to be kind of the solo acoustic artist, singer-songwriter vibe, at least that I put out so far. There's a lot coming and a lot of different ideas, but it'll remain with that same melody and kind of heart that I hope transcends the music. And
it's really good stuff. Where are you playing over in Sacramento? Are you playing bars
concerts? From the biggest kind of clubs in Sacramento to kind of, I'll play anywhere as long as it's, you know, for a good cause, number one. And number two, you know, if it's cool, I'll play to a room of empty people. And if it reaches one person, I'm really happy. That's worth the thing of doing it. You know, it's much better to have a bigger crowd kind of for notoriety and self-promotion and that kind of thing. But I've had some of the most amazing, you know, 15 people in the room shows that I have, you know, 200. So.
Well, that's cool. And that's like I guess on the radio show, if we've got one listener, which hopefully we got one out there, we do this and we don't care if there's one or a million, so anywhere
yeah,
in between.
Exactly.
It's
an independent kind of entrepreneurial spirit that I think, you know, if you don't want to take that corporate bite,
right.
This is the way to do it. And it's kind of a beautiful thing that people of all, you know, likes and understandings and things like that, more than the media and such would portray, we're kind of getting along out here, you know, at least within my community and hopefully within yours as well. Some people read past kind of the fury of what's going on and are still reaching out with that kind of not so hippie 60 vibe of just pure love, but yeah, pretty much, you know.
Well, I have to ask, you know, this is a food show, so of course I have to ask you a foodie question.
Cool.
So what is
yeah.
Graham Vincent's favorite type of food?
You know, I grew up in northern Texas outside Dallas-Fort Worth. And so, anything southern, we're talking like from baked mac and cheese to like anything, brisket, all that kind of stuff is where my food heart lies. And I know it's kind of the worst thing you could ever inject into your body, but man, I go back and in California, the choices for food are fairly limited if you don't want to, you know, cook at home. When you
right.
go out in Texas, it's just like, hey, there's everything, and I'm going to consume it all, and it's pretty good. You know,
pretty much.
Shout out
that's
to Dallas for
right.
for sure.
That's cute.
And
no,
they're kind of, you know,
I
borderline. I love those people because they're borderline insane, but just on the side of sane, you know. And so it's kind of fun to be in that chaotic environment for about 2 weeks, and then you got to get out, you know.
Well, I kind of picturing you, I guess, are you still a meat eater out there in Sacramento? That's got to be tough, right?
You know, for my health reasons, I don't try to eat too much meat, but man, do I love and respect it. Like, you know, the slow cooking of brisket and like the family reunion kind of off-brand coleslaw that this one aunt makes that's just incredible and, you know, real big fan of that kind of southern almost cafeteria community style eating, you know, and as well with drinking, like there's some really good drinks coming out of that country, whether we talk or state or part of that state, you know, from whiskeys to even vodkas and things like that are bizarrely
yeah.
popping out of the South, especially the more modernized South, like Dallas Fort Worth.
They're
and it's kind of cool to go there, have the stuff here. Would love to check out the stuff in Maryland and, you know, D.C. and Virginia. That would be incredible experience for me. But, yeah, each little pocket of the United States has its own little thing. But, yeah, where my heart lies is in that basic, simple mac and cheese brisket. Let's get it between two pieces of white bread and chow down, you know.
Well, if people want to find your music, Graham, where can they find it? Can they? I guess they go to Reverb Nation and / Graham
yeah, check
Vincent
out
and find your music. Can I get your CD and
Graham
stuff there?
Vincent.
Okay.
What's that?
Oh, cool. That's it. Can they get your? Do they have a CD there? They can go pick up.
Yeah, you can. You can download my whole EP, which is I think 5 songs for free in MP3 form, and there's live videos. And my future tour dates, and you can contact me directly. Also, at Twitter, at Grahamtastic, Grahamtastic. And, yeah, I mean, community is the way to go. So, please, I'd love to talk to anybody that wants to say what's going on, Graham. And
well,
I'll say, hey,
great.
What's going on back?
Hey, you know, I'm a wild and crazy guy. You remind me of on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, right.
Well, it almost 10 a.m. You know, it's time to be a little goofy in the morning. Why not start off?
Well, we thank you for joining us. And people, check out, you can go to Reverb Nation and find him. Also find him on Facebook. I love the music. And maybe you come out in Maryland and we'll treat you to some Maryland crabs and some brisket.
Absolutely.
And
I'll treat you to Sacramento's whatever we have out here.
Hey, before you go, the last song I'm gonna play when we close out the show is called "The Light." Now, tell us what the background story of that song is.
That one is so, for me, so self-explanatory that, yeah, the lyrics aren't hard to understand. It's not rushed. It's probably the slowest song you're gonna play in this whole thing. So
right.
Yeah, just check out the lyrics, and I hope it inspires you for better.
I didn't know there was a hidden meaning or not, or something, but it sounds like it's
There's no hidden meaning. It's just, you know, the light is kind of just someone that inspires or is that golden path when you're in the dark. You know, you find some people or something that you can gravitate towards, and just showing your kind of gratitude for that and the loss of that. And sometimes it comes back and sometimes it doesn't, but just an acknowledgement of the kind of beauty of someone that can be in the light or is the light.
Cool.
Brilliant, my light.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I knew it. Cool. I knew I was going to hear that from her. Thank you, Laurie. All right.
Well,
Graham,
you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care. Everyone check out his website and great music. I really like his stuff. And, we'll have to have him out here to Maryland, Laurie, when we get set up.
Definitely. He's fun. He's really fun.
A lot of fun. All right. Well, we're almost out of time, believe it or not. And we appreciate everyone joining us this morning and this afternoon and all of our guests. And it was a great show. And I guess now the wine czar is probably pouring wine at this very moment at his tasting. And, Laurie, you know, I always ask you the same exact question. So before we close, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I do have something real quick. Do I have? How long do I have? I can talk very fast if I go jersey on this.
You have 1 minute.
1 minute, okay. No, I have to agree with Nancy for her book, her cookbook. She called it the 2-day-a-week diet. I always zigzagged because I ate for a living for many, many years. As people see me in real person, I'm thin. So I always zigzag. And really, you know, right, if we have a heavy meal, what do I do the next day? I'm like, okay, I'm laying low, I'm flushing or whatever. Yes, because you have to zigzag. And if you do, you keep the weight off. It really does work. And she's got amazing recipes in here to follow for people like that. And also, she's right, sometimes when you do a 500-calorie, you're going to bed. The problem is if you're hungry, you think, I better eat. But you're really not starving, just go to bed. If you just go to bed and forget about it, you wake up, you're like, you'll be happy. So
instead of eating that bag of potato chips like I did last night or the ice cream with
the peanut
butter, just go to bed.
I heard the bag crunching, and I'm thinking, okay, his little hands dipping in. And
yeah, Lay's potato chips. All right, we got to go. Thank you all to all our guests. Make sure you check out all of our shows tomorrow night and Tuesday and Wednesday. And the lady is buzzing in my ear saying we have 90 seconds, so everyone have a nice weekend. I'm going to close out the show with Graham Benson's song called "The Light." We will see you next Saturday. Eat, drink, and be merry.
Bye-bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's a long, dark road to Eden. So I wish you well on your way. You slipped right through my fingers, and you disappeared for good. I don't want to be alone tonight. I don't want to be alone tonight. You slipped right through my fingers, and you disappeared for good. But the sun has pulled its shades down. For the light I could not see. But the sun has always been that way to me. You are the light in front of me. It's another moment. nightfall. There are no shadows of where you stood. You slipped right through that doorway, and you disappeared for good. I don't want to be alone tonight. I just want to hear your voice tonight. You slipped right through that doorway, and you disappeared for good. But the sudden as bullets shake down, for the light I could not see. But the sudden has always been that way to me. You are the light in front of me. In front of me, but it's all.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.